purpose of marriage is companionship. Companionship. I explained to you that you can't ride on just one or a few of the purposes of marriage. You need all to enjoy it. Running on just a few is like having two tires in your car, or having one tire in your car. You have tire, but those two or one is not strong enough to actually take you to where you are going. You need all four. In fact, you need four and a spare tire. That's how to go on a long journey. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So what I see in a lot of marriages is that people have one or two. They don't have all. And you are entitled to all. And it's only when you have all that you will fully, you know, enjoy the whole context and concept of marriage. So today, we're going to look at companionship. That's number five. Purpose of marriage is companionship. God himself said it's not good for man to be what? Alone. It's not good for you to be alone. There's something about having another person in your life that you can do life with and share life with. We all need companionship. Now, you can get some level of companionship from somebody you're not married to, you know, but having a permanent one all your life, having one all the time, will only come from marriage. And this is why it is very horrible to be married and not be enjoying companionship in your marriage. I always tell people the only thing worse than being single and lonely is being married and lonely. Did you get that? I said the only thing worse than being single and lonely is being married and lonely. Because there are a lot of married people that are still lonely. Are you here, somebody? They are married, but yet they are going through everything a single person goes through. That will not be you in the name of Jesus. Trust me, you might not know how powerful this prayer is, but I say that will not be you in the name of Jesus. The only thing worse than being single and lonely is being married and lonely. I'm telling you. This is why if you're single, you must marry right. You can't move from all the things you have suffered in your single years and now still continue it in marriage, only that now you are paying a bigger rent, paying school fees and cooking and doing, you have more responsibility, but still as lonely and as frustrated as it used to be. So you have to get it right. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I think from verse 8 or 9, that popular scripture. Companionship. It said two are better than what? One. Because they have a good reward for their labor. Go ahead. It said, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he had not another to do what? Help him up. Next verse. It says, again, if two lie together, then they have what? Heat. He says, but how can one be what? Warm alone. Listen, guys. Yes, we understand that if you're single, you will practice being warm alone. Yes, you have to. You have no choice. But one of the things you must look forward to is when you can share warmth and warmness with another human being. It's one of the blessings of life, and it's a major need of humans. Human beings need it. This is why when they want to punish people, what the world went through during COVID was really serious. Because when they want to punish people in prison, in fact, locking people in prison is punishment. What is it? They give them food and they still do exercise. The fact that they are restrained, and thank God unrestrained, they're having their dance concert, by the way. When is it again? Next Sunday evening. So, hey, if you love dance, you want to be there. This guy, and even if you don't love dance, just still come. You will love dance after that event. They always minister through dance, and it's always beautiful. You don't want to miss it next Sunday. You know, so what is prison? They restrain you. In most prisons abroad, let's not count the prison here because here the prison is bigger than the facility. Even people in the street are in prison. But yes, that's why people are jackpot. When you jackpot, you're escaping, it's prison. So when somebody is using leg to cross desert and enter a boat that he can die in to reach another country, that's escape. That's not traveling, it's escaping. But in normal places, when they put them in prison, they give them food. They do exercise. They have a gym. Some of them even walk and they read. Some of them even go to school from there. The punishment is restraining them. Then when they want to now further punish you in the prison, if you commit offense still in the prison, they will now put you in solitary confinement. That means you are alone. Do you see? So being alone is like a punishment. That's why I'm saying that the worst thing from being single and lonely is being married and lonely. That's solitary. Because men that are single can even pray and have a date or go and hang out with even the same sex. When you are married, you can't go on a date. Even going out with your friends is not easy because you might have children. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So, connecting with another human being is necessary for human beings. It's very necessary. So he said, how can you be warm if you lie alone? Now, but when you lie with another person, you know, again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can you be warm when you're alone? So they're saying, look, when you lie with another person, there's warmth. But if you're alone, there's no warmth. Companionship is a major need in marriage. The only challenge is that a lot of married couples are not deliberate about companionship. Can you imagine? You see, there are two moments when it's so critical to have companionship. When you have a great victory, or even when you have a great challenge. God, one of the things they design marriage for is to have somebody you're going through life with. You will share the ups and downs of life with that person. At every point in time, you have another person to share life with. God never designed us to be alone. He said, it's not good for mankind to be alone. And I know marriage is not the only way. This is so, but however, marriage is the best way. Because in all your companionships, there's nobody you will share the level of companionship you share in marriage with. Nobody. You will not have that level of oneness. You will not have that level of unity. Some of you have some very close friends that are no more in the country. Am I correct? They're your very good friend, but they've gone. You see, they can have a different vision from you. You guys can be Titus Pally, my main guy. He's in Canada now. He can have a different path in his life. Do you get what I'm saying? But you see, when you're married to somebody, ideally, you have to plan together with that person. It's like you have permanent companionship till you die. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. But it's unfortunate that some people get married to someone that they can't even connect with. This is why when you're choosing a partner, marrying your friend is... But we always hammer it here. Marry your friend. Because when you marry your friend, you're no longer struggling to enjoy companionship. It's something that's coming to you, what? Naturally. So that's why the Bible encourages that too. So there's a friend that sticks closer than even a brother. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because your brother, you don't get to choose, but your friend, you get to choose. So marry someone you can talk with. Don't just marry us like it's an official job. Someone's married in 2022. Whoever is available. December, don't come. Just marry. Yes, there are people that marry that quickly. I'm telling you, marry for all kinds of wrong reasons. I have a whole book titled 25 Wrong Reasons People Enter Relationships. Because people enter relationships for wrong reasons. One of the major things we must enter a relationship for is because me and this person connect. We are friends. It's a major reason to marry. Unfortunately for many young girls, modern girls, it's a reason why they don't want to marry somebody. Say, did you see that guy? What do you think now? Sir, he's just my friend. No, if he's your enemy, you go and marry. Go to Zambia and go and look for who to marry. Of course, it's your friend you should marry. Anybody that can't make it as your friend can't make it as your spouse. Because at the end of the day, when the butterflies and the flowers and the candy are gone, the only thing that will stand the test of time is friendship, companionship. So look out for it now before you marry. Can we talk? If we're not having sex, can we have a conversation? Unfortunately, again, for young people, your generation doesn't value anything God says. So God talks about premarital sex, but you young people don't care about that. You know what to do. You know marriage. We are waiting for you on the other. You will come. Cancel. You will book counseling. You will retire. Because as you are disobeying God here, you will get the repercussion. You put to understand, when you remove sexual immorality from a relationship, you will know the real power of the relationship. If we are not touching, if we are not kissing, can we hang out for 2 hours? Many young people can't. We must be touching and kissing and pecking and cuddling. And you think that is intimacy. That is not intimacy. That is actually reducing intimacy, not increasing it. Many people think if you have sex, you are intimate. No, you are not. It's reducing intimacy. You know real intimacy if we are not touching ourselves. Can we talk? Because in marriage, you can't be having sex every minute. Is this talk that you'll be doing? That's why they found out many single young people, they are overly sexually active before marriage. Once they get married, they are no more interested. Because what they don't understand is that it's not sex that builds intimacy. It is intimacy that builds sex. That's what they don't know. So, the one pushing you now is not intimacy. The best way to know if this person is somebody you can spend the rest of your life with is to remove sex. And let's just see if we can like each other enough if there's no sex. If you can like each other enough if there's no sex, you will never have a problem with sex in your marriage, because when you like somebody that well, eventually you will love to have sex with them. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? We're giving you free expo. There are many married people that are not having sex. I can tell you that for free. I'm a counselor again. I can tell you that for free. Many are not. So if you see, they are even rationing it. They are debating it. I've not had sex in the past 1 month or 6 years every day. Okay, let's do once in 2 months. You'll be hearing nonsense talk. It's a debate. Because they are running from it. But these are the same people you told when they were not married to keep themselves. They say, no! Come and spend the night. You know somebody, you have to test something before you buy it. Oh, shit. Manchester United. They say, all men are dogs. Where did you test all men? Who sent you to test all men? Why did you go and test all men? So those are the things you need to learn. Companionship. That friendship. Can we talk? Do we have shared values? Because that's what married people do, is talk. Is somebody get what I'm saying? What good marriages are about is talk. Talk, talk, and talk. Some gossip, then talk. Married people are the worst gossips in this life. Gossip about everybody and everything. Glory to God. How many hours are in a day? 24 hours. If you guys are very spiritual and you pray for 1 hour in a day, how many hours are left? If you guys have rugged and hot sex for 1 hour, it doesn't happen, but yeah, so if you have sex for 1 hour, you'll be all right after that. All those pornography you're watching is acted, though. Sometimes they even end and come back the next day and continue the same scene, though. It's not even the same day they finish acting that one scene you're watching for 40 minutes. Hey, well, I'm out here. No, don't be so. Yeah, that 40 minutes scene they acted in real life is 40 seconds, though. Yeah, because it's like, oh, people have all kinds of expectations. Say, Pastor, I cannot marry that man. I say, why? He doesn't last. I say, what's the scriptural recommended time for lasting? What's the Nigerian constitution on lasting? Yes, now, where is it in the Bible that an average man should last at least? Or section, damn it, what's in the constitution? Section 2, subsection something on lasting. This is the average. A man should last at least. So all this is there's nowhere. You're just building these things in your mind from nonsense, from where you're gathering around the world. And you're coming with that expectation that this bomb boy is going to last like that. Renewing your mind can save you. In the marriage conference, the training, a counselor's conference we had over the week, one of the facilitators shared how a couple was having serious issues. And they came to counseling, and there's usually forms we give people when they come for counseling. It's called discovery, so that you can find out what the problem is, their history, things like that. And he said, all through the form, the lady was just writing about that her husband doesn't suck her breast. Yes, I hope all of us are adults, but it's an important point. There are children here, they should go to children's church. When you bring them in for marriage conference, that's the consequence. So you take them to children's church quickly. So he said all over the form. That was the problem. All over the form. Ah, and the guy was surprised. What's with the issue about sucking breast? That's all the wife's problem, that they're not sucking my breast. I'm serious. Forgive the French, but there's no better way to say it, because that's how it happened. So the counselor called the man and asked the man, do you have a problem with sucking breast? Our job is horrible like that, yeah. We have to talk to people. And the man said, how can me? Because the man is a pastor. What? I don't know what people are eyeing about. I don't know what you're talking about. But he's a pastor and he's a holiness preacher. I still don't know what you're talking about. So they asked him that, do you have an issue with talking about? He said, how can he? This is man that is into preach. It will not be easy to suck breast. Never. The Lord must be honored at all times. So, so the counselor now proceeded. These are real life issues. The counselor now proceeded. And that's why you should go to do a good marriage counseling before you marry. Again, these are things single people don't take seriously. We just talk. You think you know more than us. We are waiting for you on the other side. So the pastor opened scripture and showed him everywhere that the Bible talks about that it's okay to suck breast. Yes, the Bible is complete. There's nothing you want to see that's in the Bible. Oral sex is in the Bible. Everything is there. Yeah, it's there. So the guy showed him Song of Solomon where he talks about that. Showed him Proverbs where he said, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be ravished with her love and all those things. And all. Yeah, it's there. It's there. Okay, look at it now. Let her be as a loving hind. Because some people are thinking about talking kind of things. It's Bible, I read it. I'm just preaching the word of God. Let her be a loving hind. Let her breasts satisfy thee what? At all times. I say, and be thou what? Ravished. Always is her love. So by the time they showed Pastor that scripture, you know, there is a holiness preacher. I have shown him the word of God. So the pastor now asks the counselor that, I want to ask you a question. No? Don't mind whether it's foolish, but I want to ask you a question. Ask. He said, you, the counselor, do you suck breasts? The counselor now said that he has PhD in sucking breasts. And ladies and gentlemen, from that day till now, that man of God has been representing Nigeria. Impressive. Now, but all that is not the story. Really. That's the way I'm going. I just had to give you that background. So, while they were counseling the woman before they met, they called the man. And by the way, from the man's testimony, from the pastor, the counselor's testimony, said when they came to see him some months after, that the man came in a jeep. And it was the woman that bought him the jeep. So, all men that desire jeep, you know what to do. Receive your jeep in the name of Jesus. If you desire jeep, Lawrence, if you desire jeep, we now know how to get jeep. Wait, first, let me finish my story. So, I had to give all this just to say this. When they were talking to the woman, you know, and now found out, but what's the big deal about this sucking breast issue? She said when she was dating a guy, her first boyfriend, that they could be in a room for hours, like 2-3 hours, and all the guy, her boyfriend, is doing is sucking her breast. So she grew so fond of that it got to the stage where it almost broke her marriage. This is why God wants you to come to your marriage as a clean slate. All the experiences you are gathering will cause you great dissatisfaction when you marry who you marry, because he might not be proficient in that thing that this boy servicing you or girl servicing you is doing. You will now use that comparison to judge that person. You know, we use something as simple as talking about, because that was a real story, but there are also other things that many people are using. Things like this lasting. Your first boyfriend can last 40 minutes. Then you now marry somebody that is lasting 40 seconds. You will be unhappy for a long time to come. I don't know if somebody's getting what I'm saying. So all this premarital stuff you're doing is adding nothing to you. Nothing to you. It's not helping you in any shape or form. Build real companionship, real friendship. And that happens by talking. That's what married couples do. So I said, there's 24 hours in a day. If you pray for 1 hour, you have 23 hours left. If you have sex for 1 hour, which is not happened, you have how many hours left? What will you be doing for 22 hours if you guys are not friends? You have to marry your friend. It's talking that we do. And you see, when you see some married people say, oh, I can't tell my wife, I can't tell my husband. You have met people that have married, but they are not friends. When somebody's your friend, you can usually tell them things. You always find time to gist. It's not a big deal. But when there's no companionship, those are the marriages that you notice that they have no communication, no agreement, no partnership. They're just two separate people, just living together, but doing separate things. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You notice that you never really get tired of your friends. You don't get tired of them. And even if you're with your friend and you're not really discussing, you're just happy to be around your friend. When you marry someone that is not your friend, it's a task, it's a job. You literally can't talk to each other. So companionship is a major feature or reason for marriage. So if you are not married, it's one of the things you must look out for you marry somebody. With all the other things going, can we just hang out? If you're already married and you've married somebody that is not your friend, build friendship now. You can start building it. And if you're married and everything is going well, now pay attention to companionship because it's a major part of the marriage. I told you guys, when me and my wife were dating, actually around the period we were about to start a relationship, remember she came out of a relationship she was in. And I was now in the picture. And the guy was begging to come back. Me, I was kind of in the picture. So her mom, she was trying to now decide what to do. Her mom now asked her a question and said, among these two guys, if let's say you don't have money, or you guys don't have money, which one will you be okay with living with? If things are not going well, if nothing's happening in your life, which one will you be okay with, to still do life with in spite of? And she didn't miss a bit. She just mentioned me, that Kingsley. You see, because we had friendship. So even if all the great things in life are not happening to you, when you're with your friend, you find out that you are still consoled. But imagine you're going through the hard parts of life. The person you are with is not even your friend. You guys can't talk. You guys can't share. You can't open your heart to them. You're just in punishment, because that's what companionship is. You can open your heart and say, this is how I feel. This is what's going on. The people you can show your strengths and weaknesses without feeling that they will feel intimidated or feel irritated. You know, there are two sides. There are people that if you share your strengths, they feel, they'll think you are bragging. There are some people you can't share your weaknesses with because they will mock you. So your real friend is people that you can be yourself with and you understand that however you are. The Bible said they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not what? Ashamed. Anybody you're afraid to be naked with, and I don't mean physically naked in the name of Jesus, if you're single. Now, of course, if you're married, yes, you should be physically naked. But that nakedness was not really talking just about physical. So anybody you can be comfortably be naked with, emotionally and mentally and, you know, in everything, that is your friend. That is who you should marry. A lot of women don't marry the right person because they've watched too much movies, watched too much of these cartoons, all these love novels, and they have an idea of how love is going to look. And when I see him, I'll be out of breath. It's not love, it's asthma that is doing you. Go and buy your inhaler, it's asthma. When I see him, I'll be butterflies in my tummy. No, you see, so every day you are meeting very good guys, but you are not thinking as them, looking at them as an option because you say, he's not my friend. I mean, he's my friend. That is your friend you should marry. There must not be butterfly. Butterfly, see, those things were taught by movies. It's not real. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I'm saying this because I've seen it destroy people. It's not real. It was movies. It's not real. Sometimes, the person you're going to marry, there will be no butterfly. You will just be cool together. You'll be friends. You find out you guys can talk. You guys can be real with each other. That's the person you should marry. Not butterfly. Butterfly has a short lifespan. A spark is a short, bright light. So you have a spark. Spark is a short, bright light. So I'll end by saying this. For those of you that are married, what you have to do now is to consciously build companionship. Because the thing about companionship is that it can also fade. You see, real love can grow and it can also die. It's one also shocks people. They think because we started right, we're going to finish right. No. Many people that are divorced today did not plan to be divorced. They started right, but they didn't continue right. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? They did what? Started right, but did not what? Continue right. You must be deliberate about building companionship. And what should you note when you're building companionship? You're building friendship. You're building that intimacy with one another. What should you note? And I don't know why God did this, but it's so powerful. For those of you that attended Pink and Blue, you understand this already. We are so different. Men and women are so different. So building companionship needs to be intentional. You can't do it by nature. And this is what many people want to do. Many people want to run their marriage by nature. No. Marriage is like swimming. To swim, to drown, you can do it by nature. You will drown. If you want to stay afloat, you will do some things right. I get what I'm saying. You will not build companionship by nature. You only build companionship by intention. What does this mean? If you're a man, for instance, if you're a married man, raise your hand. Let me see. Married man, raise your hand everywhere. Okay, thank you. Nobody, okay, yes, I can stumble upstairs. Good. Nobody married, no married man in this place. Thank you. Put your hand down. All of you didn't come for marriage conference. I'm seeing all of you that didn't come for marriage conference. But if you're married man, let me tell you something. The challenge with you building companionship with your wife is that a woman is not like you. I need props. Maybe you, three of you come. The guy in jeans too, come if you don't mind. Yes, just come. If you don't mind. Let me use you guys for example. All of you are not married. You are married. Yes. But the remaining three are not married. You are married too. You did raise your hand or raising your hand? You wouldn't raise your hand. Where's your wife? Okay, where's your own wife? Come upstairs. Come upstairs. Where is his wife? His wife, where are you? Eh? I can't see her now. Raise your hand if you are his wife. Why are you there? Is that your department or just say? You don't like to sit in front. And he likes to sit in front. You see, companionship must be deliberate. They are following their nature, you see? She's naturally shy. She's there. He naturally likes the front. I'm trying to, if you haven't proven the point. This companionship, it will happen by nature. Many people are trying to do it by nature. This is what me I like. This is what you like. You will separate. Because everything about you is opposite and different. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is even the lesson. It's not going to happen naturally. Many people think my marriage is not working. I don't even know what's wrong. I'm telling you now what's wrong. You are not deliberate and intentional enough. Something as small as missing that marriage conference yesterday, you're already not. You invest. That's how it works. You learn. Being in those environments helps you. Nothing breaks down overnight. It's one step at a time. And nothing is also built overnight. It's one step at a time. But you see, that one step is so small, you can miss it. And by the time you miss it once, miss it twice, before you know it, you move from okay to bad overnight. But it's not really overnight. It's over time. So convince her to be sitting with you here. Because I like your energy in front. I like to be seeing you in front. So, sweetheart, sit in front. Wear dark glasses. I won't see you. If you're ashamed, you can sit down. But that's the point, though. This is just a good example. I know this might not be so serious, but it's the same ideology a lot of couples use. Oh, you like this thing. Me, I like this thing. Let's do what we like. Woo! Before you know it, he will have friends that like sitting here with him. She will have people that like sitting there with him. Huh? Then one guy that sits there with her gives ginger in the message. She gets used to it. One girl that sits here in front also feels him. The way he feels the message, your mind is on the break. You don't go. Eh? Why did they say? God forbid. Yes, God forbid. But like I said, it's not really them I'm talking about. Do you understand? It's not them I'm talking about. I'm just painting pictures, okay? This is what really happens. So the guy finds somebody in his office that understands him. She finds somebody in her office that understands her. He don't go. He's old till long. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You have to be deliberate. People are not deliberate. You just do what you like. This is how I feel. You just drown yourself at work in work all day. You're not talking to your wife. See, women will talk. If you're not talking to her, somebody will talk to her. Ask Adam. Adam tried this and it didn't end well. If you don't talk to her, somebody will talk to her. But that talking, a woman must talk. So better just know. You say, I don't have power. So what happens to men most times is that men are largely physical. That's the truth. At most, they will be physical and mental, but largely they are physical. So this is why they make the decision of who to marry by how beautiful a person is. That's all. That's only in my criteria. She's fine. Why do you mind this girl? She's fine. That's it. He's physical. That's why the Bible warns him. It said, beauty is vain, charm is deceitful. But a woman that fears God, look beyond physical. That's what I'm trying to tell the man. He's very physical in nature. This is why he's also, he likes football, he likes physical activities, he likes walk. Physical, everything about him is physical. A woman, on the other hand, very different from a man. She has so many other compartments open. Number one, she has a spiritual compartment open. This is why women are the ones that you notice we always go for prayer, something, this one, something. Because they have a spiritual part of them. They desperately need spiritual intimacy. And because most men are not naturally spiritual, except the people that maybe have good influence, come to church or something, but the average guy you're going to meet will not want to just be going to church. That's not his natural instincts. So most men will never meet their wife's need for spiritual intimacy. If you notice, in most homes, the woman won't mind us praying as a family. The man does not want to pray as a family. In fact, he doesn't want to pray at all. Because spiritual intimacy is not as much of a need. The man can pray when he has a serious problem. But just be praying for praying. Woman doesn't need any reason to pray. She will come up with a prayer point. Because she has a need for spiritual intimacy. This is why a woman naturally will like a church, will like a prayer group, will like a prayer ministry, will like anywhere they are doing something. In fact, if she's not a godly woman, she will go to where they're giving prophecy. She will go to fetish places. Some of you, your mothers took you to those kind of places where somebody will prophesy or see vision for you or one spiritualist, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Women will always go to those places. What they're actually chasing is their spiritual need. They have a need for spiritual intimacy. So if you're a man and you don't meet that need, you are leaving your wife open for somebody else to prophesy into her life. And so some people have used prophecy to break some of those relationships and marriage. I can't count how many people have canceled where somebody told somebody's fiancé, he's not your husband. And the woman will go and break it straight because she needs a prophet over her life. And because you didn't take your place, somebody has prophesied to her. I can't count how many. Yes, you can clap if you want to clap. I can't count how many marriages have been threatened because the woman wants to give all her money to a pastor or a ministry. Because she has a need for spirit. Anybody meeting that spiritual need is important to her. But you as the man, you want to be rugged. Hey, it's only Manchester United, and I concern you. So you can't build companionship if you're not going to be in touch with your spiritual side. It's not going to happen. Somebody else is going to meet that need for her. Yesterday, somebody asked a question. I don't know how true the story is, but somebody asked a question in the marriage conference that his wife attends programs all over Nigeria. That is not even her own church program, just any program. Any good program. She just travel and go and attend. She has if he can be organizing program in their house, she will stay. If he can be saying, let's join online together. Don't go without me. I want to, because I can't travel. Let's join online and hold down and pray together. She will not go. But he's not interested. And she needs that need to be met. So, spiritual. You see, most men are not even meeting this one at all. Then she has emotional side. Most men are not emotional. We are at best, like I said, logical. But women have a strong emotional need. Please, spiritual, stand small. Women have a strong emotional need. And men are not emotional naturally. So many men are not meeting their wives' emotional need at all. Because men are physical and highly logical. So what happens? Women naturally, amongst themselves, they know how to meet their emotional needs. You notice women, and emotional needs, if a woman is crying and another woman comes, they know what to do. They will just cry with the person, hug the person, empathize with the person, say, yeah, what happened? Oh, hey, they're not planning to solve the problem. Men can't understand that. Those of you that women here, whenever you have cried to your husband, does he cry with you? Does he hug you? He will say, so, this crying now. How does he solve the problem? You see, he's a logical being. He's thinking intellectually. He's thinking based on the fact that he doesn't see how this our crying now affects anything going on. When a man is telling you his problem, he would rather you advise him than cry with him. He is a logical being. So, most women amongst themselves, they know what to do. Oh, if you have a problem, we just cry. We just say, hey, sorry. Oh, wow, this is so bad. This is so, you identify with the problem. Say, hey, my dog died. Say, hey, my auntie dog died last year. This thing, the pain. This dog dying thing, eh? It a pain. Hey, sorry, my sister. I don't know why dogs, they even die. Who the key dog? Why? That's it. That's it. They will, women are not dumb. They will get, they know the solution by themselves. They don't need your advice. Most men think, oh, if there's a problem, let's solve it. So many of you, when your wife telling you a problem, you want to give her the solution. I have a friend that I'm always going to work with her, but I don't like her attitude. I don't like her. And the man is saying, you have your own car. So why are you going to work with her? Stop going to work with her. Go on your own. The man thinks he has helped. He thinks that's companionship. Number one, she wants you to listen. Don't even give advice. Listen to the whole story. Don't interrupt. Don't interject. Listen to the whole story. She wants to tell you how she feels. She can figure out how to solve it when she's ready to solve it. What she needs is companionship. Somebody that will listen. This is why everywhere in the world, our biggest clients as counselors are women. Women pay to get somebody to listen. Our biggest people that are not our customers are men. Men are always pricing counseling. $600, let me give you 80. Let me give you 50. Because to a man, there's no value. But for a woman, even if you don't give her advice, the fact that somebody sat down and listened to her for 1 hour, it is worth paying for. Because it's such an important need for women. Very, very, yes. There are times we do couple counseling and the woman will say, in short, pastor, let him just even leave the room. Only me want to talk. I'm telling you. And the woman will talk sometimes for 2 hours straight. 2 hours straight and she didn't finish. It's the morning that finished. She has not finished what she wants to say. And when the woman does like to me, it shows a man that has not been listening to her. The man is stressing her out. Because women, everything about them is about talk. Everything, their emotions goes directly to their nerves, their talk, their vocal nerves. So once they are happy, they need to talk. Once they are sad, they need to talk. Once they don't know how they feel, they need to talk. So depriving your wife of that talk, there's no companionship in that marriage. You might be doing co-parenting. You might be doing co-management of the family. But companionship doesn't exist until you can sit down and listen to her and just be saying, hey, oh, really? Oh. And listen, as a man, there's no way your attention span can ever catch up with a woman's need to talk. You are not that trained. So what you need to do from time to time, your mind will escape. It will happen to you. Don't let that worry you. If your mind escapes more, after a while, bring it back and continue. Now pray she doesn't ask you questions. Pray. So if she tells you, you know Bolu now. Shebi no Bolu that I told you about last year. See what Bolu did. Don't say who is Bolu. No. If you say you know Bolu, say what?
Yes.
Because if you say you don't know Bolu, they are going to tell you who Bolu is. And that one itself is a different story. Say, so you don't know Bolu and you allow me to be talking since. Do you know my auntie Jeanette? Is Auntie Jeanette married somebody that is somebody's cousin that gave birth to Bolu? They will start the story of Bolu. Don't let them start the story of Bolu. He said, do you know Bolu? Say what?
Yes.
Yes. You know Bolu. Continue the story. Let her talk. Just be interjecting with, wow. Hey, so what are you going to do now? Don't advise her. She doesn't need advice. Just sympathize. Empathize. Hug. You know, cuddle. Things like that. Sit down. Listen. Pay attention. That's your contribution. A woman doesn't feel we have companionship if that has not happened. But you are busy advising because you are intellectual. You are logical. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So, most men don't even meet their wife's emotional need. This is why also, even because a man is physical, when they're having physical touch, a man is connecting with it more physically. A woman is still connecting with it more emotional. So this is what happens. When a man wants to touch a woman wants him to touch, massage her feet, rub her back. That is emotional bonding. Even though it's a physical activity, she's connecting with that activity emotionally. Say, massage my feet or rub my back. But a man, when he wants to have physical touch, he's not looking for emotional bonding. Men have feelings only in one place in their body. A man's body is like 10 times stronger than a woman's body. This is why you must never beat a woman. A man's body is like 10 times stronger than a woman's body. So he has no feeling in any other place. His body has to be that strong because of the first men were hunters who used to enter bush, used to farm. So their body can be soft because flowers and shrubs and coal, we cut them. So they intend their bodies to be strong. But women, their body is soft because they carry babies. The baby must go to sleep. So their bodies are soft. 10 times. A man's telling us, so a man, if a man wants to have sex or something, he just goes straight to the point. How many of you are thinking that? He just goes straight to the point. And a woman, and that thing irritates women. Say what? Straight. Because in his mind, he don't do big moves. Just because you feel like that, she doesn't feel like that. Most men don't even know that. A lot of women don't even see their breasts as sexual at all. For many women, their breasts is not even a sexual organ at all. They see it as children's food. I'm telling you, nothing sexual. But to men, they look like this. Not sexual. Not sexual at all. And that irritates women. It irritates women when you just go to the point like that. Because a woman, all her body is soft and all her body is responsive to touch. So she want, when you're touching her neck, that's sexual. When you're touching her back, that's sexual. She wants to touch every, rub her hair, touch every part of her body. All her body is soft. For men, the opposite is the case. Don't touch every other part of his body. You are distracting him. That's why many women say, my husband was rejecting me in sex. He was typing in laptop. You want to have sex. The woman, remember I told you, the intentional. The woman is touching him like a woman. You just come to your husband. You say, what? I'm tight. You are disturbing me. You can see, you can know I have deadline. He said, distract, you're not helping him. He has no feeling in those places. He has no feeling in one place. If you don't want anything to go on, push the laptop and go straight there. So, there's emotional. The point, I don't want to go into all of them. The point is this. A woman has more compartments open than a man ordinarily realizes. The only way he's going to meet his companionship goals or her companionship needs is to be deliberate about pouring into this area. That's why if you're a man, that's why I'm saying things like, you're not a worker in church, you don't pray, you don't want to grow spiritually, you're starving your wife of one whole chapter of her spirituality. Things like going to church, coming for those conferences, all the things. That's how you pour into a woman emotionally. You learn how to be romantic. You won't feel like you learn how. You learn how to use words. I love you, I miss you. You don't just call and say, what are we eating today? No. Because men talk for information. But women talk for affection. So he called us, hey, baby, how are you doing? He said, why did you come here? I just wanted to hear your voice. That's how to talk. She would say, are you missing me? The answer is what? Yes. Many women say, no, I'm not missing you. I had my important thing to ask you. No. He said, I'm missing you. I just want to hear your voice and everything. When you finish all those things, I say, what are we having for dinner? Okay, add that. She doesn't mind at that point to cook anything. She can even capture an elephant and cook it for you. When you wet the ground emotionally. But you see, men talk for information. Men don't have no time for that nonsense. Just tell me straight what you want to tell me. So he's not meeting her needs. She too, on the other hand, is usually not meeting his needs. A man does not connect with you until he connects with you physically. So if you're just talking to a man. Now, if you're single, you guys have to wait till you marry. But this is why men want to connect with you physically. If you're not touching, you're not kissing, you're not doing. He doesn't yet feel connected. Just on night talking. Let's just be talking. Doesn't make sense to him. Then, intellectually, he needs people that can have intellectual conversation without making it emotional. Not women have intellect. The only problem is that when they're talking to their husband, those same women in their office, they're very intellectual, very smart in school. But when they come to their husband or somebody they're in a relationship with, they switch from their logical side to their what? Emotion. So people that work with their spouses always have crisis, except we teach or somebody teaches the woman how to separate this man as my boss and him as my husband. If she doesn't separate it, she will come to the office expecting, so this is just an boy to leave the office. You don't know my wife. She will be mixing the two. So for her to meet his intellectual needs, she needs to be able to suspend the emotional matters. Because for her, everything is piled up together. It's difficult for her to do naturally. Because for a woman, men are linear in their thoughts. Men's brain is like rice. A woman's brain is like spaghetti. So in a woman's brain, what you did last year and what we're discussing today is together. The nasty answer I'm giving you today is tied to the behavior you behave last month. They are all in the same chapter. But for a man, what happened last week is different from this, our conversation. This is why a man can be having a serious quarrel with you and still want to have sex. They are two different. Say, but I thought we are not talking. I thought we are keeping malice. He will say, these two, they are not keeping malice. It's me and you, keeping them. They are okay. Because his mind is linear. He deals with things one by one. It's separate. A woman is piled up. So for her, it's difficult for her to have a conversation with her husband without making it emotional. So she needs to learn that. That sometimes your husband wants to discuss a pressing matter in his mind. He needs you not to be just his babe that day. He needs you to be his supporter, his partner. So have that conversation. Bring ideas without making it emotional. Don't say you didn't think of me. Don't say this is how last year. Mm-mm. Just bounce. He needs intellectual stimulation. He needs somebody. This is why some men don't even share their issues with their wives. Because you say, what does she know? Because she will always make it emotional. He wants somebody that can have a logical conversation. And that's why Solomon said, a beautiful face on an empty head is that's how it is when you have a beautiful woman that doesn't have discretion. It's like putting a gold ring on a pig's nose. Proverbs 10:22 or so. It said, a beautiful face on an empty head. So men need intellectual connection. They need bodies. They need recreational companionship. The only place love was used for a woman relating to a man, Titus chapter 2. That word is not the same love that they told men to love women. When they told men to love women in Ephesians 5, the word is agape, sacrificial love. When they told women to love men, it's a different word. It's in Titus chapter 2. I don't know if you can bring it. He said, let the older women teach the younger women how to love their husband. Look at it here. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to do what? Love their husband. So this word love is different from the love in Ephesians 5. This word love here is filio. It's filio. So it's body love, paddy love. It's my guy kind of love. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So men like my guy. This is why men like to hang out with guys. So if you're a woman and you're married, once in a while, you'll be his babe. Some other times, you'll be his what? Guy. No emotions, no attitude, no stress. Watch match with him. And thank God, your woman, you can usually multitask. So you can be doing something else on your phone and just watch small. Say, go! Ah, don't miss the goal. Say, who miss goal? They'll say, it's Luna Messi. Say, this is the second time when they miss chance. Contribute. Go back to what you are doing. He feels a need in his body. But if you're not like that, he will always want to go and watch a match outside. Even though he has a big screen TV in his house, he'll go and look for guys he can gist with. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Be his body. So I'm just giving these examples because our needs, what we rate as companionship for men and women, men like women that would do things, do activities with him. My wife was good at this until she had children. She deceived me. She used me. My wife used me. When we're dating and when we newly married, because we didn't have children on time, you know the story. When we newly married, I didn't know she was doing all this just to make sure we have the children on time. She was following me about to make sure that I'm doing my part. I thought it was real love. When we first got married, there's nothing my wife doesn't do with me. She does everything with me. I used to ride power bikes, motorcycles. We can be at home. Then we used to live in Festac. We can be at home like, or Amu or something. We can be at home like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I just say, honey, let's go to the island. We'll just enter power bike around 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 p.m. We'll just go to the island. go and buy ice cream, go and buy suya, go and buy. We'll ride motorbike from mainland to island in the night. She will follow me. That time we'll go to Dubai, she followed me on many tours in Dubai. We'll ride, there's one place called Hafit Mountain. Very, you know, windy road like this. As you'll be seeing down, if you make mistake, now don't die. Windy road, we'll ride by bike in all those places. She will follow me everywhere. We'll go, she didn't follow me. Well, she just finally got her children. Then she'll follow me and go to car shops. All this story I give about when I go to car shop. No, there's most of the story is me alone. That time, she will follow me. We'll go and check cars now. She has finally gotten what she... You use me and dump me. You're no more picking my calls. You're no more picking my calls. She was my body that time. So she gave a lot of recreational companionship. You don't follow me now. You have children now. You follow me small now. Small. But not like before. You understand? But you get the point, right? Be your husband's body. They think she should follow me to go and watch match, all those things. Where did you follow me last? I'm not lying on you now. Okay, she follows me. She follows me. People understand, Abby. You understand, Abby? You understand? You follow me. I want to sleep at home this night. She follows me. Praise God. But interestingly again, but you know, you follow me, baby. But many women, no, wait now. But interestingly, many women actually do that. You find out that when your marriage was young, they were doing fun things, but as life begins to happen to them, you have three kids, you have your own job, you notice that part of her life too reduces. She wants to spend, and it's not her fault. When you were alone, you were all, you know, center of her attention. Now she has three or two kids to share that time with. So it means the time that we allotted to you will reduce. Sometimes if it will finish. So realistically it happens. But I'm saying, again, that's what I'm talking about. You must deliberate. So you must deliberate in making sure that no matter how much I'm busy with my own life or with my kids, I need to find time to play with my husband. Men usually, see, what happens in companionship is that there are seasons and times where people are more open. So men are open in those atmosphere where somebody can hang out with them. We can go out and go and chill somewhere. We can go out and go and watch match or something. Do those things with him. Those are the times he's in his comfort zone. That's the best time to even have some discussions with him. He's open, he's ready, he's excited. Same thing with the woman. You find out the periods where she needs companionship. So what all I'm saying in summary is that for you to build companionship, you must be what? Deliberate. Were you blessed this morning? Thank you, guys. Come on, give the Lord a big hand.